Well, hello everyone, and greetings in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. This is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, introducing you to another program which is devoted entirely to preaching the fact that Jesus Christ was crucified, that Jesus Christ is now crowned, and that Jesus Christ is soon coming again. And friends, since I began the Voice of the Gospel program way back on March of 1956, the only theme of my broadcast has been to uphold the person and vicarious work of God's Son. Yes, I've been preaching the Bible, the blood, and the blessed hope for many, many years. And never once have I deviated from the purpose of preaching the pure and unadulterated gospel of the grace of God. Now then, let's open up the program today with perhaps the best known hymn of all times, The Old Rugged Cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best, for a world of lost sinners was slain.
Lord, cherish the old
gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share.
Lord, there is the old
I thank God today for the old rugged cross, and I especially thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ who hung on that center cross. Yes, he bare away my sin in his own body on the tree. How about you, my friend? As you listen to this Voice of the Gospel broadcast today, can you honestly say that you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Does the cross of Calvary mean anything to you? Well, if not, please stay tuned to this Voice of the Gospel program devoted entirely to exalting the person of God's beloved Son. Now, I know there aren't many people today who enjoy hearing the gospel. I read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved it is the power of God unto salvation." Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow in thy presence today to thank thee again for thy Son. We thank thee for his condescending grace, coming from the heights of glory, coming down to this sin-cursed earth, knowing full well that he must needs go to Calvary. And our God, our eyes would be directed to the place where they crucified him, for it was at Calvary's cross the just one, died for we the unjust, so that he could bring us back to thee. Father, we ask thy blessing upon thy word today. Honor afresh thy son, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, before getting into the message today, we'll listen to another very familiar hymn, and it's entitled, I Love to Tell the Story.
And his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longing, as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems.
You're doing fine.
I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
I love to tell the story for those who know
that plan, the hungering and thirsting.
Today I'd like to direct your attention to two verses that we find in Romans chapter 5. Those of you who care to follow me in the scriptures, I'll be using Romans chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9 as my text for today. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Well, friends, today I've read to you two of the most wonderful verses in the entire word of God. And when I say that, I don't mean to infer that some of the Bible is any more important than the rest. But nevertheless, there seems to be certain scriptures which thrill the heart and souls of those who are children of God. And here in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, we have several basic and fundamental factors relative to the salvation of God. First of all, I want you to notice the conception of God's salvation. In other words, where did it begin? Well, our text tells us in the second word. In verse 8 we read, but God. But God. Yes, salvation is of the Lord. Sinner friend, God loved you and I so much, long before the foundations of the earth were laid, that he sent his son to die on the cross for our sin. Why, back in Genesis chapter 3, we read how God provided the bloodshed covering for our first parents, Adam and Eve. And it was then that he set the pattern, principle, and precept which are to be followed throughout the entire word of God, and that is the fact that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Friend, God is the author of salvation. Yes, it's God's idea. It was His idea to provide the ark for the antediluvians in Noah's day. It was His idea of the Passover to deliver the Israelites from their bondage when they were down in Egypt. And thank God it was His idea to send His Son from heaven to die on the cross for our sin. And that leads us, my friend, to the second characteristic of God's salvation, and that's the fact that it was God who not only conceived it, but He also commended it to you and I. Our text says, "But God commendeth His love toward us." Did you hear that, friend? God commendeth His love toward us. The Apostle John reiterates this fact in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, because here's what we read. "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin." Again, in verse 19 of that same chapter, we're told that we love Him because He first loved us. Oh, how I thank God today that He loved me so much that He was willing to part with His dearly well-beloved Son and send Him down to earth to die on the old rugged cross for my sin. Yes, and I rejoice afresh today when I think of those blessed words which came from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Over in John 3 and 16, here's what He says. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Sinner friend, as you listen in the comfort of your home, institution, or automobile today, tell me, have you ever given one moment's thought to the love of God? Or are you like most people today, you just take it for granted? No, most people today are basking in the sunshine of God's love, and yet they refuse to respond to that love by showing their appreciation for it. Yes, they're trampling underfoot the love and the mercy and the grace of God, which were manifested in the death of Jesus Christ, His Son. Sinner friend, God's Son was the literal manifestation of God's great heart of love. And that's what makes it such a terrible thing when the hearts of God's creatures are turned away from that love. Now, the next thing I want you to notice about our text for today is the cause of God's salvation. Why was it necessary? Well, we read that God commended His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners. There's the underlining cause for the whole plan of salvation. It was necessary in order to save sinners. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15 we read that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Over in Luke 19 and 10, He Himself declares that He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And finally, in Luke 5 and 32 He said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So that's it, friend. The only people who can be saved are born again. The only people who will respond to the love of God are sinners. Sinners. They're sinners who realize that they are sinners and who want to escape the wages of sin or eternal death and damnation. You know, I believe that a lot of people claim to be saved today, but they never recall ever being lost. Listen, my friend. I don't care how good a home you were brought up in. I don't care how religious your background, environment, and heritage may be. You, as an individual sinner in God's sight, must be saved and born again if you ever expect to be in God's heaven. No, my friend, your eternal destiny is not determined by how you were brought up, but rather how you were brought down. Friend, have you ever humbled yourself before God and acknowledged your sinnership in His sight? Well, if not, then you're still unsaved. And even now, today, though you may be very religious, you are under the condemnational wrath of a holy God. Yes, you're condemned already. Now, friends, the next thing we notice about our text is that which follows our sinnership, and that is Christ. Christ. We read that God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ. Christ died for our sins. Listen, friend, without Jesus Christ, there would be no salvation. There'd be no day of grace. There'd be no gospel. But thank God where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And so God provided His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the sacrificial lamb which taketh away the sin of the world. Mind you, friend, He did it all by Himself, and he didn't need your help or my help either in order to provide this great salvation. Over in Hebrews 1 and 3, we read that the Lord Jesus Christ by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of God. Over in John 10 and 9, the Son of God declared, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Again in John 14 and 6, he said, I am the way, not a way, but I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, friend, that makes it very clear that Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ is the way into God's heaven. And it's utterly impossible for anyone to reach heaven apart from having faith in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter declares in Acts 4 and 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And friends, that's the reason I continually preach Jesus Christ on this Voice of the Gospel program. I'm not here to exalt a church, a denomination, a religion, a philosophy, or even a preacher. Oh, no. I'm here simply to exalt the person of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I seek, with the imperative help of the Holy Spirit of God, to present the claims of Jesus Christ as the Savior of sinful men and women, boys and girls. Now that leads me to the fifth point I wish to make about the text for today, and that is the cost. The cost of salvation. Paul declares that God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Sinner friend, the cost of your soul's redemption was the precious blood of God's Son. Yes, Christ died for us. He didn't die because of his own sin, because he had none. He was wholly harmless and undefiled. Yet, my friend, in love for you and I, he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Friend, the death of Jesus Christ was a substitutionary death. He died that we might live. He bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Yes, he was the just one, dying for you and I the unjust, that he might bring us back to God. And friend, I marvel afresh today at the grace of God that would permit his Son to die for a wretched and rebel creature like the speaker. No, with my mere finite mind, I can't understand nor comprehend how God could love me so much that he would lay down my sins upon his Son and punish Jesus Christ for my sin. In Isaiah 53 and 5, here's what we're told. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Again in the next verse, verse 6 of Isaiah 53, we read that God hath laid upon him, meaning Jesus Christ, the iniquity or sin of us all. Well, friend, I for one can say with the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now you'll notice that our text says that Christ died for us. For us. And that's what brings to each born-again child of God much cheer. It cheers our hearts and souls today to know that it's a personal salvation. Yes, Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. But friend, before he could become my Lord and my Savior, I had to admit that it was my sins that nailed him to the cross. Yes, the salvation of my soul became a reality when I appropriated, by faith alone, the fact that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth me from all sin. Sure, he died for whosoever, but friend, he died only for the whosoevers. And unless you take your place before God as a lost whosoever, then you'll never be saved. No, the God is no respecter of persons. And he'll never force his salvation on anyone. It has to be a personal decision, and it must be preceded by a heart-filled, spirit-led conviction of sin. You know, a lot of people are professing to be Christians these days, and they believe that it's just a question of making a choice or a decision, just like you'd choose your fruit or your friends. Listen, friend, salvation is not by the will of the flesh, nor by the will of man, but of God. And furthermore, there's no conversion without conviction of sin. And this can only be brought about by the Holy Spirit of God and God's Word. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ himself declares in John chapter 6 and verse 44 that no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. Now then, the seventh and last point I wish to make about our text is the consequence of salvation. What is the consequence of being saved? Well, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 9 we read, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Here we have the consequences of accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We're not only justified by his precious blood, but we're saved from the wrath to come. Now, I know that some of you listening in today don't like to hear about the wrath of God. And time doesn't permit us to go into this gruesome truth today. But, sinner friend, listen. I want you to know, or let me put it this way. God wants you to know that if you reject his love and grace manifested in his Son, then you'll have to suffer the consequences. And that simply means hell and the ultimate lake of fire. In John chapter 3 and verse 36, here's what we read. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Well, friend, which shall it be? Heaven or hell? Where would you rather spend eternity, friend? In the glories of heaven with the one who died for you? Or down in the flames of hell, there to weep and wail and grind your teeth forever? Friend, if God's Holy Spirit has revealed to you today your need for a Savior, then please, please don't resist the Holy Spirit of God. In Genesis 6 and verse 3, God declares, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." Again, I think of that solemn warning given by God over in Proverbs 29 and verse 1. "He that being often reproved or warned, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Let me repeat that. This is Proverbs 29 and verse 1. "He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Well, friends, today I've been bringing before you some facts relative to our text, Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. And in closing, I'd like to quote these two verses to you again. This is Romans 5, verses 8 and 9. "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." So that's it, friend. Right now, wherever you are and whoever you may be, I plead with you in love for your soul and in view of eternity to acknowledge your sinful condition in God's sight. Admit you can't do a thing to save your own soul, and then with simple childlike faith, just trust Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you'll do that right now, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to thee at the close of another gospel message to thank thee for the privilege we've had of preaching the gospel of thy grace to those who are perishing in their sins. May it please thee, our God, to bless thy word, honor afresh thy Son, save souls, for we ask it in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. Until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.